You are listening to
Packers Talk.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Amanda, come in.
10-4.
Have you infiltrated the security system yet?
Locked and loaded. Ready to lower myself into the enemy war room.
I'm lowering you down now.
I have access. The Packers are in for a tough one this week. I need the password to proceed.
The password is read option.
I hate that password.
Me too. You know which wires to cut.
Always go for the green and gold. Here we go. I'm Amanda Geoffrey.
And I'm Chris Calloway, and you're going with us
behind
enemy lines. Welcome to another week of Packers Football and Behind Enemy Lines, a podcast hosted through PackersTalk.com. You can find us on iTunes at PackersTalk.com, as well as on Twitter at EnemyLinesGB. I'm one of the hosts, Chris Calloway, on Twitter at CCalloway33, and I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend and fellow owner, Amanda, who you can find on Twitter at Amanda R. Geoffrey. The Packers host the Dallas Cowboys at Lambeau Field on Sunday, as they hope to break an unfortunate two-game losing streak on their home turf. But things went well in Michigan last week. Amanda, have you forgiven yourself for going to bed early last Thursday?
I have not.
Good.
And if you would have seen me... No, I have. I was never really super upset about it.
You should be. You should be way more upset about this.
I was pretty sick.
Yeah.
And it was pretty frustrating, and Aaron was like, you know what? The worst thing that's going to happen is you wake up in the morning, and you didn't have to sit through an awful game. Best case scenario is you wake up and they won. And I was like, okay.
So were you kind of groggily looking at your phone, or did you read the paper in the morning, or how did you find out that they actually had won?
I kept hitting the snooze button, and then Aaron starts watching replays. He's like, no, they won. I was like, shut up, I'm going to punch you, because I thought for sure there's no way they came back and won.
Okay.
And he's like, no, watch this video. It was awesome. And then, so yeah, like I groggily kind of like woke up and rolled over and looked at his phone, and I was like, oh my gosh, like that amazing play that we've been waiting for all season actually happened. And then I was like, I'm going to get so much crap for missing it.
Well, I was in maybe a different circumstance than you. I was watching with my roommate, and he was like, okay, screw this, I'm going to bed, because he's not a Packers fan. He's a Vikings fan, so he didn't really care what was happening. So I was up watching the game still, and all of the commotion happened in the fourth quarter, and I was sitting on the edge of my seat, and then when that Hail Mary actually happened, I started screaming and, you know, running around, pumping my fist, and the dog woke up first, and then I was like, screw this, I gotta wake my roommate up so he's gotta see this. He's like, what? And he looked at it, he's like, okay, that's pretty cool, and then he went back to bed. So I was wired after that. I didn't fall asleep for probably a good hour and a half, 2 hours after that point. It was awesome. It was really, really cool. But thinking about it, it's like, why do we need a Hail Mary to beat the Lions?
Right.
You know, you'll take it, obviously, and hopefully it's a sort of catalyst for the season. But we've kind of come to that point where they needed that sort of lucky play to avoid losing 5 out of 6 games. So I'll take it. Like I said, we're at 8-4. But I mean, is that kind of the catalyst you hope, you think it'll be one going forward?
I kind of agree with you. It's kind of been like one of those things where it's been painful to watch. Like, it's not bad, but it's just like painful, because there's, you know, they should be better.
Right.
Like, it feels like everything should fall into place and they shouldn't have to struggle against teams like Detroit or even Chicago Thanksgiving week. But they did, so clearly there's something wrong. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, we came off with a win last week, so we're not going to get as down in the dumps as we've been previously on the
show.
I don't know. It's, you know, it's kind of like I said earlier, it's the Miracle in Motown. It sounds like a bad Hallmark Christmas movie. It's still a Christmas movie, so you kind of got to like it. But it's an awful, painful Christmas movie.
Have we settled on Miracle in Motown? I mean, I've seen Motor City Magic. I've seen, like, the Rogers Connection. I've seen a couple of different.
I'm sure there's tons of them out there. The one that I saw, like, the next day was Miracle in Motown, like, crazy. And I was
I think our local paper had Hail Rogers, which, I mean, we should probably.
Ours was like, ooh, the Hawkeyes. That's what happens when you live in Iowa.
Yeah, that'll happen. But the good news is they play a team this weekend that is struggling in their own right, even if they did get a win last weekend against the Washington Redskins. But we're both going to be in attendance.
Yes, we are, and it's going to be awesome.
Are you nervous for that fact because you're bad luck?
I'm bad luck. You're the one who gets Rodgers hurt when you go to games.
That was one time.
What, one very important time.
One time he broke his collarbone. I happened to be there, and that's somehow my fault.
I don't think I'm bad luck.
We together are bad luck, right?
Yeah, that's true. We saw them beat the Lions that one time.
Okay. I just remember Colin Kaepernick and David Akers kicking a 63-yard field goal.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly a good moment for us to go to a game together. But I think, I don't know, the odds couldn't be more in our favor with Romo being out.
Is this like a Hunger Games situation?
Yeah, maybe. That's popular.
Right. Look at you making a pop culture reference.
It doesn't happen often.
No, it does not. But, you know, one of the things I'm most interested in seeing this weekend is what they do with the running game. I mean, we were like, what the heck, Eddie Lacy? Why aren't you getting carries? You know, he had 4 carries for 5 yards or whatever it was on Thursday, and then it came out that he was a curfew violation the night before. But now, I mean, with Eddie Lacy and James Starks and now John Crockett into the fold, who looked at least, I don't know, explosive, change of pace, whatever you want to call it, earned himself a few more carries. I mean, where do you feel about, or how do you feel about that Packers backfield?
I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, honestly, I'd like everything with Lacy to become, you know, what it was, what we saw last year. But I don't know. It just isn't.
Even what we saw 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Right. No. I don't know. And like now he's, you know, being benched because he's making dumb choices off the field. It's like, come on, like.
Uh-huh.
You're not setting yourself up to win here. I would love it if Johnny Crockett became something awesome because I like his name, and I feel like I could see myself shouting that at the TV.
Did you understand the pop culture reference of Crockett and Tubbs?
No.
Eddie Lacy being, you know, a little bit fatter, according to some people. He's Tubbs. And from the hit TV show Miami Vice, the two police officers are Crockett and Tubbs.
Yeah, I don't watch that
okay,
show.
Well, it's not on the air anymore, so that's one reason why, but I just wanted to explain that to you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for breaking that down.
You're welcome. So, I mean, what else did you like about the game on Thursday night? I mean, obviously when you went to bed, there wasn't much to like, but
There was nothing to like.
I'll tell you one thing I liked. Julius Peppers. He's still pretty darn good. I mean, he kind of disappears at stretches, but that strip sack he had on Matthew Stafford late in the game, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what Julius Peppers can do. And I know that the Cowboys have a pretty good offensive line, but if they can get just a couple of plays like that from Julius Peppers, you know, you're not going to get strip sacks every game. But if there's a couple of plays like that down the stretch, maybe one of those in a playoff game, you know, that's huge for a defense that's desperately needed playmakers. I mean, we haven't had a lot of huge turnovers. It's just they've just needed guys that make plays, and it was good to see that happen on Thursday.
Well, and you know, I think something to be said, Dallas might have a good offensive line, but if you have Julius Peppers beating down on them and you don't have Tony Romo there to throw the ball, I mean, there's bound to be mistakes from Matt Castle, and then the secondary, they're the ones who are going to step up. So it might not be Peppers that we see actually get the credit for it, but I think he's going to be able to make some impacts and do what he does best. But, yeah, he had a big play last week, and I think that is what he's known for. And, You know, I've never really completely lost hope in our defense. They've at least been able to turn it on at some point in the game, even though they let them go up 17-0, 20-0.
Mm-hmm.
They still are able to at least come out, play, make it competitive.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree. And, you know, you have a couple of guys who are showing things. You know, Clinton Dix, I think, certainly has panned out to be a pretty darn good player. You have guys like Dayton Jones who are improving. You know, at one point I think we were ready to write him off, but now he's kind of showed things a little bit. Quentin Rollins and Demarius Randall, I know Randall didn't play against the Lions, but both of those guys looking very competent in the secondary. Jake Ryan stepping up a little bit in the middle linebacker position. So I know in week 13 you still don't want to say that the defense is a work in progress, but I don't think they've peaked yet, which is encouraging if you're a Packers
right.
fan.
Yes. Yes, it is. And hopefully they won't have too much of a challenge this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still saying that as, like, idealistic Packer fans, though. I mean, I think, don't you have to kind of throw that mindset out the window a little bit, especially after the past, you know, month and a half?
I'm trying to be positive, Chris.
Well, no,
You're not letting me.
I appreciate that perspective, but I'm trying to be analytical, too. I mean, I think, you know, the first time they played the Lions, we're like, okay, we'll just throw those Panthers and Bronco games out the window, and they'll just take care of business now. Well, that didn't happen. We thought, okay, the Favre thing happening on Thanksgiving, and they'll get the win there. That didn't happen either. So every time we go making assumptions about this team, it's kind of thrown back into our face. So I guess what I'm hoping for is just a little bit of consistency, you know?
Well, yes, I understand what you're saying, but I think at the same time, they're well aware of their situation now. They're well aware that they can't just assume the win or think, you know, oh, we played not so great this time, but we're at home this time, so it won't be as bad. You know, they've lost twice at home. I mean, the last two games that they played at home, they've lost. And so I think that there's this whole mentality, like, yeah, we just came off of that win. It was really awesome, but we didn't play the greatest, and now we're going to be at home where we haven't also played the greatest. Like, I think that overall there is that sense of urgency to stay consistent and to make sure that they're making the big plays, both on offense and on defense.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that the Hail Mary did was all but lock up a playoff spot. Obviously, there's still four games left. The worst they can go is 8-8. But still, that might be good enough to get a wild card in the NFC. I mean, you're looking at, you know, basically the Seahawks and the Vikings right now as the wild card teams. And if the Packers stumble a little bit, obviously the Vikings could move up in the NFC North in the division. But I mean, who else are you really worried about? There's nobody from the NFC East. The Buccaneers and the Falcons are both at 6-6. They're not exactly too intimidating either. And then everyone else is 5-7 or worse. So I mean, I think, you know, if I were a betting man, I would bet pretty heavily that this Packers team is going to end up in the playoffs. But, you know, no Packer fan, especially after last season, is going to be content just getting there and being one and done in the wild card round.
It's very true. And, you know, it's not like they've got smooth sailing here on out. I think the Cowboys game this weekend is going to be tough. I think there's no doubt about it. They're a competitive team. I think Arizona's going to be a really tough game, and that's not at home. And then I do think Vikings, just because they're going to be fighting, you know, I think that's going to be a tough game. But I really think, and maybe I shouldn't assume this, here's me assuming, I think it's okay to assume the win against the Raiders, but I guess we'll see how they play this weekend. And then I'll tell you next weekend if I feel confident in that.
Right. And I guess, what would surprise you this weekend? Would it surprise you more if the Packers came out and won, you know, 31-7, or would it surprise you more if they kind of took one on the chin and kind of came back to earth, kind of the level they've been playing at, you know, more often than not over the past month?
I would be shocked if they just, you know, and it's not even that they would have a high scoring game, but if they were able to keep the momentum going on offense. They're able to convert their downs. They're able to just, I think that's where they've struggled. You know, they can make one series and then the next one they like, it's like they 3-and-out, you know. I don't know. I think that it would shock me if they were able to keep like a smooth momentum going on offense throughout the entire game.
And
that's, I think that's what would shock me the most.
Four of their five drives in the second half against Detroit ended in touchdowns. That's encouraging. I think you want to start from that point, not the, you know, the huge momentum swing of the Hail Mary, but the progress that you're making, you know, putting plays together on offense, getting stops on defense. You know, they gave up two field goals in the second half, but you'll live with that. You'll live with a 6-point half,
right,
you know, any day of the week. So I think that what I want to see is them build off some momentum and kind of, you know, make strides. You know, there's time left to really become a competitor, but like a team to be feared in the NFC. I still think the pieces are in place. I still think the potential is there. I don't think anybody's lost hope of that potential, but I think what people have realized is that it's just not a given.
Right. Yeah, well, we've been spoiled.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Well, it all starts this weekend, right? We're going to be there at Lambeau Field. But,
we're going to be there.
We're going to be there. So I think it's time to bring in our guest and see what we're in for.
Let's do it. Now we'd like to welcome our guest, John Mashoda, to the show. John covers the Dallas Cowboys for the Dallas Morning News, and you can find his work and follow him on Twitter at John Mashoda. Welcome back to the show, John. We're happy to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. I feel like we are kind of in a kind of a situation where we do this almost every year, so it's cool.
Yeah, it's great to kind of get to know you and the Cowboys a little bit better, and, you know, seems like maybe we'll even establish a rivalry, but maybe that's just me and my husband who happens to be a Cowboys fan.
Wow, house divided.
Yeah. Well, it could be worse. He could be like a Bears or Vikings fan, but it's been trash talk all week. So let's go ahead and get started. You guys had a big win Monday night, and with the NFC East as bad as it is, even the 4-8 Cowboys are still in the mix. Is there real legitimate hope amongst Dallas fans, or did that kind of go out the window and Tony Romo got hurt again?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because before Monday night, I would say 100% people were done. They were out, because not just because of Romo, but just the way that they even played, you know, when he came back and just even before he got hurt, just the way they looked against Carolina. I think there was a lot of people that when they saw Romo leave, and it was like, oh, well, that's just the final nail in the coffin. They're done. But, you know, nobody else in the NFC East took advantage of it and pulled away this past weekend. So it kind of gives Cowboys fans hope. And then the other side of it is that they were finally able to win for the first time this year without Romo. It wasn't like Matt Cassel had his best game and did a fantastic Tony Romo impression and just carry the team to victory, but you know, he did enough to keep them in position to beat a Washington team that I don't really think is that great. But yeah, it keeps the hope alive. And the other part of it is that Jerry Jones has done a good job of keeping hope alive by you know, and Jason Garrett too, but by not putting Tony Romo on IR, and so it gives fans hope that, you know, even if we can somehow win this bad division, possibly we could make it in the playoffs and Tony could come back and be better than ever. But, you know, with that being said, obviously, you know, there's no guarantee that even if that did happen, that Tony would be able to play at the level he was playing when he played the Packers last year at that time.
And I, like you mentioned, I think it's the first win for the Cowboys without Tony Romo under center. So just kind of that perspective, you know, having a quarterback that you're like, okay, this guy can get it done. It was a nice drive late in the game to put Dan Bailey in that position to kick the field goal. I mean, from a locker room perspective, just kind of that, you know, even a little bit of confidence in Matt Cassel now. I mean, have you kind of seen that manifest itself for the Cowboys this week?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, it's progressively gotten more and more. I mean, he was put in a tough situation. You know, it's not like he was just a backup quarterback and he had that, he had been with the team all along. If that would have been the case, at least he would have got some reps with some of these starters during training camp and OTAs and minicamp, but he never got any of that either. He was kind of thrown right in the mix right away. So I feel like every time, after every week at least, it seems like there's more comfort there because he's working with the first team offense. But, I don't think there's anybody in that locker room that is thinking that, Matt Cassel is going to carry us and we're going to win with this offense and look like the Cowboys of last year. I think everyone understands that for them to win enough games to make the postseason, it's going to have to be on this defense. The defense is going to have to be what carries them, and they really just need Matt Cassel to be pretty much a game manager and not lose the game as opposed to having to go out there and try and win it. The defense is who's going to have to win the day.
Well, as you're well aware, it's a short week for the Cowboys, and they played on Monday night, won on Monday night. What kind of effect does that have on the team as a whole, or does it happen often enough where the effect is basically negligible?
Oh no, I think there's a major effect from that. I think that was a big reason why. I mean, Carolina is a great team this year. I'm not taking anything away from them, but the Cowboys just didn't look like themselves at all in that game against Carolina, going on short rest in that game. And I think the same thing for this one. It's going to be tough for them, to go up to Lambeau. With this team, you're missing that extra day of rest. That's the key part. It's not, obviously you want the extra practice in that, but, playing Monday night, you don't get as much rest as you would have and time to recuperate. So you kind of have to get right back into it. So, I definitely think that it gives an advantage to the Packers, and it's funny because anytime one of these situations presents itself, Jason Garrett's always asked about, the effect that has, and he never wants to give anything up, and he's just, hey, whatever the schedule is, and, it doesn't matter where we're at, parking lot, moon, wherever, he always says that we're going to be there, and we're going to be there on time, we're going to play our best football, but, with that being said, he understands that it's not to the best of both teams' advantage, but I mean that's the way the NFL is. I mean that's how it's going to be. They want these Thursday night games, so I mean everybody deals with it. So you just got to kind of put that distraction aside. But when it comes time to actually playing, I think as an outsider, a fan, someone that just watches the teams, I think you know that it's a little bit of a disadvantage.
Well, the other thing that kind of popped up storyline wise this week was the bad blood, and I use that kind of lightly, about the Dez Bryant catch, non-catch in the playoffs last season. As a Packer fan, it's a play that I'd never really, dwell back on because the team I root for benefited from it, but it's also probably because how poorly things ended the following week against the Seahawks. But is that kind of sentiment, that revenge factor from last year's playoff game, present in the locker room, or is that just kind of a fan base thing, or is that really maybe just with Dez Bryant?
Yeah, we talked to Dez about that today, and I don't get a sense that from talking to him that he feels like, I can't wait to get up to Lambeau. We're going to get revenge for a bad call or anything like that. And without Romo, it's really even tough to go back up there and say we want to get revenge because we thought we were the better team and that ended our season. I don't get that sense from any of the Cowboys, really, let alone Dez Bryant. I don't think that's the way they look at this game. I think they look at it as it's just a new season. There's a lot of new parts and it's just a different game, but I will say the fans don't let it go, and I think that there's several parts to that. I think one of them is that the Cowboys just have a huge fan base. When there's a questionable call with the Cleveland Browns, it's not going to get as much airtime as something that happens with the Dallas Cowboys. That's one part of it. The other one is it ended a season where, for the first time in a long time, Cowboys fans felt like, we're hot at the right time. Maybe we do get in here and make a run and the other thing is, like, being down in Dallas, Dirk Nowitzki kind of had this improbable run towards the end of, not that his career's over, but it's towards the end of his career to win this championship. I think a lot of people in Dallas think that this could happen for Tony Romo, too, at the end of his career. And I think having the Super Bowl hopes dashed right there, I think it keeps them upset. But at the same time, it's this great play, and do I think that, I think that they called it the right way if you look at the rule. But at the same time, there's just so much game left to be played that even if you do think that 100% is a catch and it shouldn't have been overturned, it's not like that was with 1 second left on the clock and the game would have been over. There was still so much game to be played that you can't really hang the win or loss on that. But if you're a fan, that's what you're going to point to, especially when you're arguing with your buddy.
Well, kind of going back to Dez, in your article this week, it sure seems like the Packers are planning for 100% healthy Dez Bryant. If that's truly the case, you know, what kind of player does that mean we're going to see in a Tony Romo-less offense?
Yeah, it's tough. I don't think he's 100%. You know, I would say maybe he's like, you know, 90. I know it's tough to say, but I mean, he's still dealing with some stuff. He had the broken foot in the season opener, and he had the surgery, had the pin put in. I don't think that's really limiting him anymore. But it's that coupled with a couple weeks after he came back, he hurt his left ankle and his left knee on a touchdown catch he had in that game, and so he's slowly been getting back from that. And you can see the progression where each week it seems like he's getting closer and closer to 100%. I don't know if he's quite there yet. And maybe he won't be for the rest of the season. You know, it's tough to say because when you're dealing with like multiple injuries of that nature, but you could tell against Washington, you started to see a little bit more of the old Dez Bryant and just in some of the plays he made. But with that being said, you know, he's not getting it thrown to him by Tony Romo. He's getting the ball from Matt Cassel. Matt Cassel, one, doesn't have the experience in the offense that Tony Romo does, and two, he's just not the player that Tony Romo is. So, you know, that's the biggest thing is that Cassel's got to be able to take advantage of Dez. Anytime there's one-on-one matchups on Dez, he's got to be able to get him the ball because that's what opens everything up for the Cowboys. You know, last year that's what worked so perfectly is there was really no disguising anything with the Cowboys. It was they could come out there with DeMarco Murray, and if you set up one way, then they're running the ball. If you set up the other way and trying to stop the run, then you're going to throw to Dez. And if you're doubling on Dez too, then they're going to throw to the next open guy, whether it be Witten or Terrence Williams. And they haven't really had a chance to do that this year. And so without DeMarco Murray and without Tony Romo, it's obviously tough to do that. That's why you're not going to see the same Cowboys team you saw last season.
Well, switching focus now, kind of going to the other side of the ball. I read some of your guys' stuff this week from the Dallas Morning News about the defense and two players in particular, Greg Hardy and Sean Lee, where they're both playing some of their best football of the season, especially Monday night against the Redskins. Let's start with Greg Hardy. The Packers' offensive line certainly has been banged up over the past couple of weeks. What kind of impact do you see Greg Hardy having on the game on Sunday?
You know, he's dealing with a shin injury right now. He was limping a little bit today around the locker room, but I mean, he suffered in the game. I think he came out for like one play. I mean, he got the most snaps of any of the defensive linemen, so I don't think it affected him too much in that sense. And I think he's going to have a huge impact. I think he has a huge impact pretty much every week, whether even if he's not getting the quarterback, he commands the whole teams, and that opens things up for other guys. So. They move him around a lot, so it's not like some of these defensive ends where you're just going to see him on the left side and just rushing Rodgers from his, you know, back. They're going to move him around, and really it's kind of been one of those things where you've seen Tyrone Crawford and DeMarcus Lawrence the last couple of weeks really kind of pick up their game and take advantage of some of those double teams. So, you know, I think Greg Hardy will have an impact, but I don't know if he'll necessarily lead the team in sacks. But, I mean, I think that they'll certainly be able to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. If the Packers play the way they did against the Lions, you know, I don't see any reason why they won't be able to get some pressure against Rodgers. But I just don't know if Hardy will be the guy that's necessarily leading them in sacks.
Well, the running game for the Packers has certainly been interesting, and I guess we're kind of expecting Eddie Lacy to have a bigger workload. It's no secret that having a healthy Sean Lee helps, like with his 13 tackles on Monday, but where does he fit into the grand scheme of how things will shake out on Sunday?
Yeah, Sean Lee's played great these last three or four games, and then I think a thing that's helped him a lot, too, is that this is by far the best Rolando McClain has looked all year. You know, he came in a little bit heavier than he was last year when, I mean, he played phenomenally, especially for a guy that, you know, they kind of just signed who was retired. He was awesome in Lee's absence. And now having them both on the field together, you know, they moved Sean Lee to weak side linebacker, and Rolando is the middle. And really together, both of them, these last two or three weeks, you really just see them taking their game to another level. And that's, again, like I said earlier, that's what the Cowboys have to hang their hat on, is just how they play defense. I mean, that's what won the game in Washington is, you know, limiting – the big plays and getting off the field, getting sacks. And the problem is that, with all that being said, the thing that's missed the most on that defense that they had last year is the turnovers. They haven't been able to cause any turnovers. And they went from being first in the NFC last year, and now they're last in the league in that department this year. So that's the big thing. You know, that's what Sean Lee and that's what Orlando McClain, that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, not only do they have to stop Eddie Lacy in the run game, but they got to find ways to get their hand on passes, whether it be interceptions or forced fumbles, because, you know, they need the extra possessions on offense without Romo. So that's really the key right there. If you can tell me the Packers are going to take care of the ball and not turn it over at all, then, I mean, I don't see any way the Cowboys win the game.
Well, they certainly have turned the ball over a little bit more this year than in years past, especially Aaron Rodgers hasn't been infallible. So we'll certainly be looking for that on Sunday. But we don't talk about kickers all that often here, but Dan Bailey is really good, as evidenced by his game winner on Monday night. He's one of the best kickers in league history by a number of different statistics, and the weather is a bit uncertain for Lambeau on Sunday, so that could play into things as well. But what kind of safety net does having Dan Bailey in situations like Monday night give this offense and this team?
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, Jason Garrett talks about that all the time, that, you know, they don't want anybody to think that they're taking Dan Bailey for granted. But, I mean, that's a huge weapon to have. You know, talking to him after the game, you know, after that kick, it's one of those, I mean, 54 yards he's good from. And outside, I mean, there wasn't any wind or anything like that. It wasn't too chilly. I mean, it wasn't. But then still is an outside kick, and he said that he would have been good with going out there from 56. So, you know, I think there's a huge difference in the NFL and kicking outside and inside, and especially with the elements, if it's raining and whatnot, that's going to change things big time. But I don't think there's too many guys in the league that do it any better than Dan Bailey, whether it's inside or outside and with the conditions. So yeah, that's a huge weapon to have. And I think he's playing really well too. I mean, his confidence is sky high. And it doesn't seem like he's a guy that gets rattled very easily. And the Cowboys know that if it's a tight game and it comes down to field goal kickers, that they feel like they have the advantage.
Well, if it comes down to a field goal on Sunday, Dan Bailey might be kicking into some rain and wind. It doesn't look like the best of weather Sunday afternoon, late afternoon, evening. But we will just have to wait and find out what exactly this game is going to bring for us. John, what do you see kind of coming down to be like the what do you think is going to happen on Sunday on the field?
You know, I think it'll come down to kind of a defensive struggle. I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad as what you saw on Monday night with the Redskins. I don't think it's going to be. I hope it's not going to be that ugly. It was pretty bad football for about 3.5 quarters, and it was kind of exciting at the end, but I would like that, you know, something interesting to happen, possibly maybe in the first half. But I think it'll be better than that. And even with the rain, I just think that, you know, I grew up in Detroit, and I've seen a lot of Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers games over my lifetime, and I know how good both those guys were for Green Bay, and I think they just make the difference, I think Aaron Rodgers is playing at a different level than everybody else, and I think it'll be a close game, you know, but in the end, I don't see how you can go against Aaron Rodgers in this matchup. You know, I mean, that's one of the big things. It was Matt Castle versus Kirk Cousins on Monday night. You know, that's Aaron Rodgers will find ways to score points against it. Doesn't matter how good that this Cowboys defense plays. I just think he's the difference, and, you know, it's kind of interesting that he's a big reason why Greg Hardy is a Dallas Cowboy. You know, the Cowboys felt like if they could have got some more pressure on Aaron Rodgers in that playoff game, that was the difference last year, that they could have, that they would have won that game and they would have went on a longer playoff run. But they, even a hobbled Aaron Rodgers, they weren't able to slow him down and get enough pressure. And that's why they went in the offseason knowing that, hey, we got to go out there and upgrade this defensive end position. That's why they brought in Hardy, and they drafted Randy Gregory in the second round. It's because of Aaron Rodgers. It's because of what he did to them. And even with that being said, I think he's the difference, and I think he'll be the difference on Sunday.
Do you kind of see it being a high-scoring game, or do you have, like, a point spread that you want to give us?
I don't think it'll be high-scoring. You know, maybe the Packers win, like, I don't know, like maybe 24-17 type game, something like that. You know, if Jordy Nelson was healthy, I think it'd be a little bit different. But I think that the Cowboys will play everything close to the best in offense, trying to be kind of conservative and not turn the ball over and be content with going into halftime with a field goal battle like they did against Washington. And you know, obviously that can all change if you know, Rodgers gets a couple big plays or if Green Bay gets the running game going. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. If before last week, looking down on the schedule, I would have said that this game would be Packers win by 14 or more. But I just think that there's a little bit of confidence going on right now with the Cowboys, and I think that there are some things about the Packers that I think that there are some qualities about them that makes them beatable. I don't think they're as, you know, the big thing really for me is just I'm shocked again from being from Detroit with how well the Lions played against them. That's a game that the Packers just own. And so the way that the Lions played against them both these games this year, I have questions about how dominant that they really can be. So obviously the offensive line is a big part of that, but that's one reason why I don't think it'll be a blowout.
Right. Well, I think, like you said, there's a big what if we've been asking all season if Jordy Nelson was healthy. So I think it's going to be a little bit closer game. I do think the Packers are going to be able to outscore the Cowboys. I think we're going to see like a 26-17 favoring the Packers. Chris, what do you think is going to happen on Sunday?
I like right where you guys are at with the Packers offense, but I think their defense is going to step it up a little bit more. They've had flashes earlier this season where they've been able to really kind of contain teams, shut them down, and I kind of like them keeping the Cowboys maybe to just a score or two. I mean, if there's a rain a little bit in the mix, I think that helps the defense, and I like it 24-10 Packers. So we're all on the same page, it sounds like. So we're hoping that we stay at least somewhat dry on Sunday. John, we appreciate your time today, and hopefully you enjoy your trip to Wisconsin this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, John.
We appreciate everyone for tuning in to the Week 14 edition of Behind Enemy Lines. The Packers host the Cowboys on Sunday afternoon to find out once and for all who is America's team. Once again, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. I'm Chris Calloway, and you can find me at CCalloway33.
And I'm Amanda Geffrey. You can find me at Amanda R. Geffrey. Thank you to our guest, John Machota, for joining us. You can find him on Twitter at John Machota. Remember, check out all of our podcasts on PackersTalk.com and follow Behind Enemy Lines on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. Look for Chris and I in the stands this Sunday. We'll be the ones wearing green and gold.
And
until
hopefully
next,
sopping, hopefully not sopping wet too.
Well, we might be.
Maybe.
But yeah.
Until next time.
Go Pack, go.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Card.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.